The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informal look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
Very good, man. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Great to see you. This has been a long time coming. I remember when I started my podcast about three plus years ago. I had a list of people that I wanted to interview, and you were in the first 50, and it's just, it's, and I love.
You've done a few though, far out.
I've been blessed to be able to interview some magic so people. Cool, and what I love is timing. Yeah. And I feel like right now, where we are in the world, a balanced, mature presence and your perception is what I would love to explore today, because you have that, or you exude that sort of maturity and that level-headed calmness, which I feel like we could all use at the moment.
I try to have that. It's a very challenging moment. I think it's very confronting what everybody's going through. It's so overwhelming. And it's very hard to know what to do, because there's just so much noise. There's just so much conflicting information. There's just so many things that are being thrown at us. And I think people are totally overwhelmed, and they want to do the right thing. They just don't know, you know, what is the right thing to do.
Well, the reason that I think this is the right time for us to have this conversation in relation to this is you've spent your life trying to, I don't want to say trying to, but you've spent your life working out how our bodies and mind and even spirit can evolve. And you just said there's so much misinformation out there, and no doubt you have trudge through the misinformation in regards to dietary advice, movement and fitness advice, and perhaps even spiritual guidance. So I'd love for you to share with the viewers and listeners your story about navigating your way through so much noise over your career and your life. And I feel like I could just hand this over to you and you just do a complete Aaron McKenzie download, if you don't mind, mate.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me on, mate. I mean, I've been admiring your work for quite some time. You know, when you first kind of came up, you're just obviously connecting with all my heroes. It was so cool to see it all come together. And you really gave a lot of people that I felt were unheard of a voice, and you connected them with a lot more people. And I just felt that it was so needed, and you came along at a really good time, and it really exposed a lot of people to some really good information just about health, lifestyle, nutrition, movement. And, you know, that's, there is a lot of people out there trying really hard to share a good message, and it is hard to put it all together. And I think, yeah, your podcasts and just the work you've done, it's been awesome for that. And it did, it kind of, it went along with a lot of what I've been trying to do, and just exploring and trying to find out, well, what's the best way that I can live this life? You know, how do I get the most out of this experience? And for me early on, like if I go right back, in my teenage years, you know, kind of living with one parent, not really sure about direction in life. What am I going to do? I love skateboarding. I was into that. But I was eating junk food, whatever, and I wasn't going to school. I'd left school at the age of 13, and just exploring life and, you know, taking drugs and all of those things that teenagers do. And then I got this, I had a lot of fun doing all of that for a couple of years. And then I got this skin condition that I couldn't shake. And I started going to doctors, started going to different specialists, skin specialists. And at that age, around that time, I was around 16, and I was very self-conscious. You know, what you look like to the opposite sex, and, you know, you're attractive, and you're always, you know, judging yourself and all of that. So it kind of, it really made an impact on me, and I felt bad about it because it was all over my face. My whole body was kind of like in these, there weren't even pimples. No one could really kind of diagnose it. It just looked bad. And obviously when you're that age, it looks 1,000 times worse than what it really does. But it was good. It led me to find a naturopath at the time. And I got into nutrition and cooking all my own food. I started going to the gym. I started getting healthy. I was swimming in the ocean. I got a job. And then I actually end up going back to school and doing my high school certificate and a certificate in design. And I was doing martial arts, and kind of my whole life kind of came back together. But it, you know, it just shows you that something bad can happen, but you can turn it all around and learn from it. And it was like a whole world opened up to me just by changing. The main thing that I felt drove it was the nutritional change, you know, just going to meat and vegetables and fruits. And that was, you know, 26, 27 years ago.
How was that for you? Like, did it seem strange, or did it click for you pretty
quickly?
Yeah, well,
because I tried so hard with all the skin stuff. And then in trying to change that, we're going to this naturopath and just doing food, my skin cleared up, and that was great. But then, like, my eyes got clearer. I could think straight. I could concentrate, and I wanted to study. That was really, like, the most powerful part of it is that, you know, I didn't want to do school. I was just, you know, I just thought it was boring, whatever. But then I kind of found this drive inside me to read and learn more about life. And then I had this kind of drive that rose up in me to make something of my life, to do something, to work, to make money. You know, I want to be someone and do something. And then I did a martial arts instructor's course, and then I did a personal training course. And then that was my career, just personal training from the age of 18 until now. So 43 now, 25 years of just training people. And in that process of doing that, of helping others, I just keep learning more and more. And that's why, to me, it was just the best job in the world, because, you know, I was getting paid to learn how to help other people. And I'd had so much of a change within myself. So by going to the gym, I put on muscle, got stronger, I looked better, I was more attractive, which at that time was important to me. And then I felt better, I could concentrate, I could remember all these things that I'd learned, and I could express them to other people. And then people start paying you money to share what you love. So your life is just, it's great. And I just built so much passion up inside of me to just keep going and stay with that career and just keep expanding it. So that kind of kept going. till I think what was it, my late 20s. And I was, you know, teaching other trainers, doing a lot of things to the point where I just wanted to help more people. So I opened a gym. I started certifying trainers, had a health food cafe and health food shop and kind of all these things going at once. It was awesome just to feel this constant energy and know that what you're doing is making a difference. And I'm sure that's what you get from the work that you do. I mean, it wakes you up in the morning. And obviously, makes it easy. You know, you don't have to think, what am I going to do today? I know what I'm going to do. I want to help people. I want to, you know, try and share the passion and the energy that I have with other people and inspire them to realize their potential in life, that they can do more with this experience. Mm. And it's not that hard. And you just got to start with the basics and just build upon that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, and I'm stoked that you shared that with us. I was driving back to Sydney the other day with my daughters last week, actually, or maybe it was this week, and we had a conversation in the car. They're 15 and 16 now, and and I brought up the topic of career, and work in particular, and I mentioned to them I just wanted them to think about what this actually means as a teenager. And I said, there's a large majority of people that really dislike what they do.
Yeah.
They're not content in doing the work that they've chosen to do. And there are people out there that love what they do. They love getting up. And as you said, it gives you some purpose to express yourself. And I suggested to them, before they rush into anything, really think about all the things that they love to do currently and since they've been little to this point in time, and look at the things that potentially they'd like to do as well that could bring them joy. Yeah. I said, and the great thing about this is you can change. You can always keep changing. You can keep adding. You can
evolve the approach.
You don't have to get stuck doing one thing. You know, I think I've had three different careers so far in my short span of time. And, you know, I was considering a different one this year, another bow to the feather to the bow, as they say, or feather to the hat. I'm not great at those type of things. But it's so important, I think, that we really think about this. And I mentioned on a podcast the other day, I said, recording podcasts and our health retreat, I said, it doesn't feel like work. It's actually quite selfish in a way, because I get to do what I love to do, and the add-on is, like you said, other people appreciate what you're putting out into the world.
Yeah,
and I do believe that that's what we're here to do. We're all creative beings to express ourselves with our talents and strengths and gifts. Yet so many people are scared to share those.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks for letting me go on my little rant.
No, not at all, man. That's so cool. I mean, it's so true. A lot of people just, you know, they're not sure what they're supposed to do each day. And then they just, you know, they're just trying to pay the bills, basically. And they fall into that trap, you know, and the whole structure is set up in a way that, you know, you look around and so many people are in this position where they're leveraged. And it's overwhelming in the sense that, you know, you just got to keep working, but then what are you working for? And then are you really enjoying what you're doing? And then when you kind of look forward and you think, is this all it's going to be? You know, is it going to just keep repeating itself, or I'm just in this constant state of debt and stress and doing work that doesn't give me a sense of fulfillment?
The eye-opening moment for me was quite some time ago. I was sitting with a TV executive. And I was pitching a show, how to get Australians healthy.
Yeah.
And they said to me, they said, Pete, that's all very well and good, very noble, what you wanted to do. They said, we're in the business of creating television.
Yeah.
So that the people that have miserable lives at home can look at a train crash reality. Yeah. Of other people's dysfunctional lives, so that they feel better about their miserable lives, that they're not as bad as who they're watching on television.
Yeah.
And obviously you can bring in the news into the fear, yeah, into all of that. And
yeah, all the drama. Yeah.
And I thought it was just such an eye-opener. And I just,
yeah,
do you imagine if everybody knew that watches television, yeah, that it's manipulated in a way so that you can feel better about yourself and, yeah, perhaps not even want to change where you're,
yeah,
at?
Well, yeah, totally. And just accept it. Or I think, okay, well, you know, it could always be worse. So maybe I should just accept it and just go along with it and keep playing the game. And it's not so bad. I'll just keep going. I'll just make sure I can make my mortgage repayments or pay my rent this week. I mean, it's just mind-boggling what's happening now in terms of how people are just living paycheck to paycheck, but then obviously then going into a situation like we're in where they're forced to accept government handouts, and then they're just in this position where they're just completely dependent. And it's by design. You know, it's really unfortunate. It's very sad, you know, the freedoms that have been taken from us, and that people think there's only one way out, you know. Okay, you know, they're only given one option out of this whole situation, and they have to take that option. And it's completely going against what we all need, which is to find that inner strength and that self-sufficiency, and to say, hang on, okay, you've got this, you can do this. No, it's like, okay, let's palm it off to somebody else. You know, it's no longer your responsibility. You've just got to trust in this, and then everything will be okay. But you don't have a role in this. You're just, you know, you're just cattle, basically. You know, you're just a resource that we want to use, and you don't really have a say. And you just better just go along with this. Otherwise, there's consequences, and then we'll, you know, make life even more difficult for you. And it's really sad. You know, and it's almost, I think, and you're aware of this, and I think most people that genuinely want to help people can see what's happening, but they also understand that, you know, 2 years of brainwashing is so powerful in terms of how they're perceiving their day to day. And for someone, you know, I spent my life just trying to convince people like you to eat meat, vegetables, fruits, to get to bed on time, drink good water, move every day, you know, get out in the sunshine, you know, nasal breathe, relax, have loving relationships, you know, and that was tough. You know, that was tough to convince people. But now it's like, and I was crazy for talking about that, just like you, you know, you're seen as crazy because it's so crazy to eat whole fresh food and to get some movement every day. And an extremist. But now if you speak out about what's going on, you know, like there's a whole new bucket for you that they're just ready to throw you into. And it's quite sad because it's everyone that needs the information to realize that they have control over their own health. There's things that they can do every day to make their life better, are feeling more and more insignificant and more powerless, that they have no control over what's happening. And it's an external force that they can't do anything about. So they've just got to, you know, conform, go along with it, and that's their only option. And to me, it's heartbreaking to see people fall into that trap. And not only fall into that trap, you know, it's the fact that they're defending it now. Like, you just like, I'm still, you know, I'm in Bondi Junction here, and I'll show you here if you can see it. So this is, you know, that's Westfield. I can't quite see it. That's Westfield across the road. So I'm in the middle of it. And, you know, just walking around everywhere, it's so weird. You know, like everyone is completely programmed and you can't even talk to people about what's happening because they straight away just get defensive and, you know, aggressive about what's happening.
Well, so, what I'd love to ask you is, what would you say? Just what would you like to say to the people?
The masses?
Well, just to people.
Well, I think we've got a situation where, you know, like you and me can talk. It's great. We know what's going on. We're open to it. You know, and we're seeing it for what it is, and we want to make the most of the situation. And we're at a point where I want to help other people. You know, it's not just about myself and my family. I can navigate this and I can live pretty comfortably, even in the thick of it. I've still got enough clients that can support me financially that want what I have to offer. So even through this whole thing, I've been able to keep working. And for a lot of people, it's not the case. You know, they've learned a skill or whatever, and they just feel so trapped and feel like, okay, their hands are tied behind their back and they have to take the option. So I guess there's you and me, we're open to it. There's maybe what percentage of the population that are open, but it's the people that are on the fence and not sure that I want to help. There's obviously people that, just like with, you know, eating whole fresh food and getting to bed on time, they just don't want to know. And they're just kind of in their life and that's okay. That's their experience. But for the people that are kind of wondering, you know, is it possible to make something of this situation? Is it possible to use this situation as an opportunity for us to come together, to unite, to look at what's really happening and say, well, how can we do it better? And I think there is, and I've heard you say it many times, you know, like this is happening for a reason, but it's in our face. It's now they know, we know, they know, you know, it's before, you know, there was a certain percentage of us that knew what was happening. And maybe they knew about us, but now it's like in our face every day and it's like testing us. But the funny thing is the group of us that are left, you know, the unjabbed, is we're pretty headstrong. We're pretty tolerant. We're pretty aware of what's happening. And I think it's probably a mixed bag. There's some people that are maybe rebellious, but there's probably some aggression there or whatever. But I think, you know, you're coming up from a place where you just want to help people see it for what it is and you want to create something better and you want a nonviolent approach to this, you know, and if I say fight back, I don't mean fight with violence. I mean, stand your ground and be loving and be compassionate to all the people that are suffering around us, which is what we're seeing. I mean, you've only got to look at the data and it's sad. It's really sad that we're still going along with something that's so catastrophic for everybody. I know, and anyone that's willing to look at it will see that, you know, it's just the option we're taking with everybody is not working out at all. But people are still going into it. And I think, you know, and I kind of really came aware of it because I had a few clients that had parents die after they got their first shot. And it was a mixed response. So I know four people now that have died, some of them, their whole family had been vaccinated. So they didn't want to acknowledge it. It was just a freak heart attack. It was a stroke, had nothing to do with it. It just happened. They didn't want to acknowledge it because it would scare the whole family. And it's kind of like once you've had the shot, you have to defend the shot because if you go along with this kind of drama or this situation where maybe it wasn't the best choice, then it's going to scare the hell out of the whole family and what's going to happen and all of that. So it's almost like they have to hold on stronger to that idea. And then the other side of it, some people that are like, oh my God, this has happened. You know, we have to do something about this and get anxious, but then realize that they're talking to people around them and no one wants to listen. They're pleading with doctors to say, you know, report this. This is, you know, people have to know, and then they're being silenced and told, you know, this is not what it is. It wasn't that. It was something else. And then you see, you know, all the censorship coming. You see all the propaganda coming, and you think far out. You know, is this really happening? It's like a movie. It's just And then, you know, obviously all the pharmaceutical companies have no liability. And now, you know, we announced that all Australian taxpayers are going to take the liability. You saw that where they're basically now where, you know, people have admitted that there's side effects. They've admitted that there's a problem with this, but who's going to pay for that? We are. I'm with interest on that, you know, and I really don't think people see the bigger picture of what's happening is that the people that are, you know, the puppet masters at the top, pulling the strings and they're obviously, you know, got an agenda to get everybody on in this system. And then they're free of any liability, so they're not going to lose any money. It's mandated. So they're just making money with that. But then on top of that, they're not just going to make the money there. They're going to make money out of the side effects. And how do they do that? Because our government is going to borrow more money from them to pay them back at interest to cover all the side effects. And I just like far out. It's like they've set it up in a way that they just cannot lose. And it's really obvious once you look at it, but then you think, okay, well, how do we get out of that? How do we get our sovereignty back? How do we get our freedom back? And it starts with, you know, just yourself. Take control of your own health. You know, and people keep asking me, well, what do I do? You know, it's freaking out. Just live a healthy lifestyle every day. Be an example for other people around you. Don't try and tell your relatives. Don't try and, you know, you're not going to win that battle. They're being brainwashed, or they're so scared. They're so overwhelmed by the fear that they can't hear you. They're just going to get defensive against you. But the best thing people like yourself and me can do is the healthier we get, the more we unite with people that are open, and we can create this loving, united community. And obviously, we have to do it online now because of the situation we're in. The more that grows, and the more people want to be part of it. And, you know, I just tell people, do the basics every day. Just make sure you get moving in every day. And you know, it might be more higher intensity or lower intensity, but make your body healthy structurally. You know, put the physiological loading into your body that's going to make it look good, feel good, perform well. And then it's, you know, eat nourishing food that comes from a good source. You know, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. You know, 2 to 3 good whole fresh food meals every day. Sit down, relax, you know, eat it with your family ideally, and then just nurture the relationships around you. Just put love into them, you know, and if your family members are struggling with what's happening, just be compassionate. Just listen. Don't try and change their mind. Just listen and be there and be present, because they're not getting that. They're not getting that connection. And the love dissolves all the fear. And obviously, over time, the truth will be revealed by the result, and also the truth will dissolve the lies. And that's what we'll see more and more. But obviously, we're going to have to watch a lot of negative things happen in the process of that occurring. But if you're getting good sleep every night, you're drinking enough water, you're getting to bed on time, and you're just not beating yourself up and not overly worried. And it sounds like that's easy to say because you're still making money. And that's the challenge, is obviously I tell people one of the most important things is find a way that you can keep making money through this, not to live an extravagant lifestyle, but just so you've got some safety, so you don't get pushed into a position where you can't, you have to depend on the government, you know, giving you another handout, which obviously costs us all, because it's just more debt and it's more interest repayments to the international bankers that are lending us the money to be able to keep this whole charade going. And it's funny, like I read a few, like something, I think it was in Wellbeing, and they were trying to calm people down about all the debt that we're going into this for this situation, whatever, $300 billion it is. And they're explaining it all and stuff, but saying, you know, basically, you know, Australia's a resource-rich country. We've got good credit rating, so we can go further into debt. But what people don't realize is that we don't even need to do that. You know, we could all have this amazing life. Why are we playing this game? You know, and it's world over, you know, it's this monopoly game that the elites are playing with us. You know, and we're just a resource that they want to manage. And the only way we're going to stand up to it is if we find that strength within us to be healthy, to form strong communities, to get back, you know, into a state where we've got good family values and connection with the people around us, and join in a way that unites us so we can be strong together. But like you know, if you stand up and you're too loud, you know, you become a target, and that's the challenge. Obviously, you've faced where you're deplatformed and you know your head's cut off, but if we can rise up together in a united way where there's so many leaders, or everyone is an individual leader and they're that powerful, it doesn't matter, you know, because we all come up together. But as soon as if one person stands out too much, you know, they're just a target for the media to completely destroy their career and, you know, to try anyway. And you've done well. You've navigated that and you're like, okay, this is great. I'm just going to keep going and do my thing. I know how I can connect with everyone anyway, which is awesome. But it does make it confronting. Even for myself, you know, I'd probably say 85% of my clients are vaccinated and probably 50% of them believe the narrative. And then maybe the 35 that just got it.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.